Good evening. Good to have you all here for worship. It's good to have in-person worship again. We've got about 25 to 30 people here. We also have live streaming and some opportunities for people to worship with us via our Emmanuel Facebook page or our internet offering on our Emmanuel website. Good to have you here. Good to have you also present with us via virtual medium as well. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, today is a feast day. We're celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and Martin Luther has this to say about the Trinity. Therefore, we should not dispute about how it can be that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, for it is by its very nature beyond all reason. But it should be enough for us that God speaks in this way about himself and reveals himself thus in his word. To try to deny the Trinity endangers your salvation, Luther said. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers your sanity. So blessed Feast of Holy Trinity to all of you who gather for worship. A couple of other announcements. Regarding communion, it'll be one kind. As you know, when we receive the host, it is the body and blood of Christ. And following worship tonight, as individuals that are socially distancing are dismissed, one family unit at a time, then we'll be serving the Lord's Supper outside, and we'll all be safe with that, and we'll also receive the nourishment not only of his word, but also of his sacrament as well. If you haven't had a chance to go to our Emmanuel website, I encourage you to take a look at it. We have a new feature on there, and it's really pretty amazing, actually. And it's an aerial view of the 4.9 acres of Emmanuel land. So thank you to Tom Vomhoff and his dear friend that had a drone that took that, and we'll continue to update things as well. But excitement is building. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 and all the other challenges that we face in daily life, we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, is unstoppable. God wants all people to be saved, and so tonight we're celebrating the gift of the Trinity and the gift of the Great Commission. One final announcement. A shout out to Jason and Mandy Trendle. Some of you know Fred and Sandra Trendle. You know Adam and his wife Kathy and their little daughter Emma. This is Adam's brother. This is Fred and Sandra's son. They got married this morning. At 11 a.m. they became husband and wife as bride and groom. And so Jason and Mandy Trendle didn't get necessarily the wedding they were hoping for or planning for, but we know that marriage is about Jesus Christ and having him in the center of who you are and everything you do. Apart from Christ, one won't know true joy in the home, in the family, in marriage, in life itself. So this is a shout out for Jason and Mandy Trendle. We love you, we're praying for you, and we ask that God would bless your marriage and your household of faith richly indeed. Having said that, I invite you to rise as you are able for our gathering song, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all the world shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your hearts. Teach them to your children.
Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Congregation may be seated for our scripture song, God Whose Almighty Word, hymn number 400. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to make the confession of a true faith. We acknowledge your glorious eternal Trinity, and we adore the unity of your majestic work. Defend us by this faith from all adversity and opposition to your way, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 8 in your up on the screen, and we will read it responsively. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes.
To still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him?
And the son of man that you care for him?
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings,
and crowned him with glory and honor.
You have given him dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under his feet,
all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Our second lesson is from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14a. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation, may be seated. Because of our social distancing and other things, I've been recording the children's messages separately and putting them on our Facebook page. And so if you're a grandparent or a parent and you want to spend some time in the Word with your children or your grandchildren, I encourage you to take a look at the Emmanuel Facebook page. It's called Ready, Set, Go, and it's helping kids to understand how great the Great Commission really is. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. It all begins with a word. And God said. You heard that refrain over and over again as Julie read our first reading for tonight, the creation story. And God said. Speech, speaking, words, they matter. The gospel was never intended to be just written down and read. The gospel was to be proclaimed, to be spoken, to be heard, because the spoken and proclaimed word of God changes lives. And God said, the Great Commission. What a great way to end the gospel of St. Matthew. Go, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. Go, make disciples, for I am with you till the end of time. Go, be the salt of the earth. Go, be the light for the world. Go, be a city on a hill so all can see that you're serving me. Go, make disciples. Perhaps you recognize the name D.L. Moody, an American evangelist from the 1800s, chosen by God, set apart, anointed for the proclamation of good news. Jesus Christ is Lord, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. Well, D.L. Moody was approached by an elderly woman one day in the course of his travels, and she said to him, Dr. Moody, I don't like the way you do evangelism. And D.L. Moody, not taken aback, said, you know what? I don't like the way I do evangelism either. Tell me how you do evangelism. And so the woman looked at him and she said, I don't do it. To which D.L. Moody replied, well, I think I like the way that I do it better than the way you don't do it. The Great Commission is an order, a command, if you will. And it all begins with a spoken word. Jesus, throughout the ministry in the Gospel of St. Matthew, has told his disciples that the Son of Man is going to be crucified and on the third day raised. And he told his disciples that he would go before them to an appointed place, a mountain in Galilee. The question that is asked repeatedly in the Gospel of St. Matthew is this: will God's people obey God's words? Go, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey all that I've commanded them. That's what Jesus says. Teach them my commandments, not just to think about them, not just to simply say, well, let's put it to a vote, but to keep them like a keepsake, like a treasure, because all of God's words, all of God's commands are not whipping sticks. But they're treasures. They're keepsakes from a loving God who loves us and wants only the best for his creation. The creation that he formed and created simply with a word. Everything begins with a word. And God said. God spoke creation into existence. In the Gospel of John, St. John begins his gospel with these words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through him. Nothing was made apart from him. In him, the Word, God is life, and the life is the light of all people. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the incarnation, the nativity, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Full of grace and truth, and we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only exegeted Son of the Father. The Son reveals the Father's love and passion for us. It all begins with a word. Isaiah 55 says, and this is the word of the Lord, "My word does not return empty." It's not like God throws a word out there and says, well, good luck. No, God puts his word out there and it's causative. God puts his word out there and it's creative and it's redeeming and it's sanctifying. God puts his word out there and it's a saving word. It's a promising word. It's a purposeful word. It's a performative word. Just because God speaks, things happen. Now, I know it's hard to believe sometimes that words can have that kind of power, but when Jesus sent his disciples out into the mission field, he gave them authority to speak on behalf of God. He gave them authority to actually proclaim forgiveness of sins, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead to new life, to bring about the new creation through the proclaiming of the word of God. And God said. So in our service of worship, we have confession and forgiveness. We bring our repentant hearts to the Lord, not only in preparation for the hearing of the word, but in preparation for the receiving of our Lord's body and blood. And then as the word is proclaimed, as the confession of sins is in fact done by us, our words, our voices, as we lay our souls bare before the Lord has a word for us. At the end of the confession comes the absolution. And that's the authorization that the one who has all authority has given to his church, to his proclaimers. And that authority is to forgive sins. So in the name of Jesus and in his stead, I declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now someone might say, well, that's nice, Pastor Dave. You don't know what I'm really like. You don't know what I've really done. And besides, what gives you the authority to forgive my sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus gives his church and his pastors, his proclaimers, the authority to forgive in his name. Not in the name of David Lloyd Stephenson, not in the name of whatever your first, middle, and last name may be, but in the name that God gives, the name above every name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It all begins with a word. And God said. Let's take a look at Matthew 28. If you're at home or somewhere else where you have a Bible, make sure you open it up or read Matthew 28 later, because there are three parts to that chapter, the final chapter in Matthew's Gospel. The first is the Easter mission. You see, it's Easter morning, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they come to the tomb, and when they get there, there's this huge earthquake, and suddenly the stone is rolled away, and there's an angel of the Lord that sits on the stone, because that's how proclamation usually happens. You know, in Jesus' day, they stood up to read the word, but then the rabbi sat down to preach the word. And so the angel of the Lord is there to proclaim a message, an Easter message. Look inside, see, he's gone, he's been raised. He told you, don't be surprised. Now go and tell his disciples. Get out there, get going. Go tell his disciples about the rendezvous. Remember, Galilee, that appointed mountain? Go tell him that he's going to go before you and he'll be there waiting for you when you arrive. Go tell his disciples. And you know what the women do? Well, they obey. Because in the Gospel of Matthew, obedience is not a dirty word. It's a keepsake word. Obedience is about reverence and awe and love and trust and faith in Almighty God. So as they are going with this Easter mission to tell the disciples, guess who meets them? They run right into Jesus and they worship him, because that's the way Matthew's Gospel begins and ends. In the beginning, it was the Magi who traveled a long distance so that they could worship him. And now in Matthew 28, the resurrected one is being worshiped. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is being worshiped and glorified. And so they worship Jesus, and Jesus says, okay, now it's time for you to get on with your mission. You got to get going. Go tell the disciples, we got a rendezvous. I'm going to be there. I'll be waiting for them. That appointed mountain. Well, that's part one. But you see, we live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world that has walked away from God. We live in a world that says, I'd rather do it my own way, and I really don't need God, or I don't need your God, or I don't need a God commanding me or telling me what to do. I prefer to call my own shots. So what we have in part two of Matthew 28 is called the counter mission. You see, there were soldiers there keeping guard over the tomb. And when the earthquake happened, they became like dead, paralyzed men. They went immediately and told the religious leaders, he's gone. Jesus has been raised. We were there. And the religious leaders said, well, how much will it cost you to keep your mouth shut? Think about that image. Jesus is going to give us the Great Commission. God tells us to get ready, to get set, and to go. And meanwhile, there are religious leaders who have the gall to say, how much will it cost? How much do I have to pay for you to keep your mouth shut? Don't tell anyone. In fact, do just the opposite. Don't tell the truth. Tell a lie. I want you to go out there and say that you fell asleep. We'll cover for you. We'll give you plenty of money. It's a bribe. And you just say that his disciples came while you were sleeping and stole the body away. And St. Matthew says this lie, this countermission against the resurrection of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, has been proclaimed to this very day. To this very day, even in the 21st century, my friends, people are out there telling the lie. You see, in the beginning, there's the truth. And in the beginning, there's the lie. In the beginning, God spoke a word full of grace and truth. The word is Jesus. But there was the ancient serpent who also spoke a word. He's the father of all lies. And so there in Matthew 28, in the midst of this wonderful Easter commission, Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. You've got people that are signing up, even religious leaders, signing up to work for the devil, a countermission against the Easter mission. Well, where's the resolution? You got the Easter mission, you got the opposition, the countermission. You think that's going to be the last word? No, Jesus gets the first word and the last word. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. And what's his word? The disciples gathered to the place, the mountain, where Jesus had instructed them. They followed orders. And when they gathered, they worshiped him, but they also doubted. You see, Jesus didn't pick perfect people to go spread the good news. Jesus chose disciples. And then he says, I need you to go make more disciples. Well, what's the recipe? Well, it's pretty simple. As you go, not as you sit, not as you twiddle your thumbs, but as you actually go. Maybe you're going boating, maybe you're going swimming, maybe you're going golfing, maybe you're going to work, maybe you're going to church. I don't care where it is you're going, God is going to open up one door after another. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you will practice being a disciple, and you'll want to make other disciples because you know that there's no abundant life ever like the abundant life that is found in Jesus Christ. That's what disciples do. They make more disciples. They practice the teachings of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Baptize them. Not in any old name. I mean, don't get creative, Jesus says. I mean, for 2,000 years, the church has been listening to and obeying the Word of God. Baptize in the name of the Father, not the gender, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are people that want to get creative nowadays, because they want to countermission the spoken word of God. And once you baptize, well, remember, you've signed up for life. Then you got to teach them, day after day, week after week, year after year. It doesn't end, my friends. Teach them to obey, to keep, to treasure the commandments of Christ. Did you hear all the alls in this great commission? Think about all the alls. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. That means that Jesus is not giving his disciples an elective in evangelism. It's compulsory, it's required, it's mandatory, it's a command, it's an imperative. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. He has all authority. He's the boss. He gets to call the shots. He's the resurrected one. And then he says, go out and make disciples of all people everywhere. You don't need to be selective. God loves everyone. And all people everywhere matter to God. And God wants all people to be saved in the name of Jesus. So you're never going to have a shortage of opportunities. All places, all people, all everywhere. Make disciples, baptize, teach them to obey all, not just some, but all of my commandments, Jesus says. Wow, are you overwhelmed? I mean, that's a big assignment. That's a lot of work, but you don't go alone. You never go alone. Disciples go together. And Jesus says, I am going with you to the close of the age. That's the resolution, my friends. The Easter mission, the counter mission, discipleship, the Great Commission. I want to tell you a story that I read this past week by David Baker. David Baker tells about two of his dear friends. One man's name is Frank. His wife is Eileen. Now, Frank had a business trip in Atlanta. And so his wife said, well, I don't have anything to do. Why don't I go with you? So the two of them went together. They were there for about a week or so, business trip, taking care of business. And during that time, Frank and Eileen met some new friends. And Eileen said, never have I tasted Southern hospitality the way I did when I was in Atlanta. Before they left and returned home, Frank and Eileen were invited by friends to go to a kind of out of the way, out in the woods, if you will, special restaurant, the name of which is Church of God Grill. Church of God Grill. They thought, well, that's a strange name, so they went the foursome out there, and it was kind of out in the boonies, and it was kind of in a wooded area, in a poor outskirt area of Atlanta. And it was kind of a building that looked like, well, to be frank, it looked like, you know, kind of an old church in the sticks. And it had a rickety porch, and they went up there, and then they went in, they got a booth, and the seats were cut down church pews. And remember, the name of the place is called Church of God Grill. They sat down. An elderly gentleman came to take their order. He was their server, dressed in a nice suit. And Frank and Eileen said, as we sat there, the ambience was interesting. We could hear the crickets chirping. We could see the fireflies that were lighting up in the trees. Frank said, I ordered some barbecue chicken breast with a special sauce on it. The kind of sauce they say down south means that your tongue kind of wraps around your head and slaps your brain. Best taste and chicken, he said, I ever had in my life. And when they got done and they paid the bill, they asked this elderly gentleman, their server, they said, you mind if we ask you a question? The name of this place, Church of God Grill. What's the backstory? And the gentleman said, well, it's interesting, actually. You see, we used to be a church here. But we were poor and we were small, and we tried to figure out how we were going to pay our bills. And so all of a sudden somebody said, let's have a chicken dinner. And the chicken was so good that we started serving it every Sunday, and pretty soon we started cutting out worship services, and pretty soon we decided just to get rid of the church and just to serve chicken full time. Church of God Grill. Now, I tell you this story because there are people that want nothing more than to silence the gospel. There are people that want nothing more, especially during days of COVID-19, especially with all of this turmoil that's happening, with protests and with brutalities and things that shouldn't be happening in our world, right? Contrary to the will of God. In the midst of all this stuff happening, there are people that want to shut down the gospel and say, how much will it cost me? How much do I have to pay so that you won't tell anyone about Jesus? You see, all the things that churches do can be really good. I mean, seriously, to have a clothing shelter, to have a food bank, to build homes for people without homes, to protect the sanctity of life, to do social ministry, even to have a chicken supper. I mean, it's all really good. But what happens if the church starts becoming so preoccupied with its programs and with its social agendas and with its causes that all of a sudden, well, Jesus is no longer behind the wheel. He's not even the co-pilot. He's not even in the back seat. Maybe he's in the trunk with a spare tire. In other words, the gospel gets the boot. And no one hears the good news of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everything begins with a word. There's a pastor named Carlyle. He used to have an Irish setter. He loved that dog. That dog seemed to know three things. He knew the clang of his food dish. He knew the jingle of the car keys. I mean, when the car keys jingled, the dog was right there at the door, went outside, stood there in position, got in the back seat, sat up like a deacon barking out orders. And he knew the word go. One day, Pastor Carlyle was visiting with a friend, an elderly gentleman, and they were talking about things around the table, and the Irish setter just kind of cuddled underneath the table there and fell asleep. And then at the end of the conversation, Pastor Carlyle's friend said, well, he pulls his chair back, he stands up, I guess it's time for me to go. Immediately, that Irish setter sprang up out of a dead sleep, hit its head on the table, came racing out from underneath the table, immediately went around the corner into the kitchen on the freshly waxed floor and did like two complete circles, knocked over three chairs, and then backwards slid through the screen door, busting the screen. All because that Irish setter heard one word. Go. Everything begins with the word of God. And God said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. And God said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The word of God is spoken. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep, and no one can take a single one of my lambs out of my hands. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Ready, set. As you go, make disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day, Rise, Shine, You People.
Rise, shine, you people, Christ the Lord has entered. Our human story, God in Him is center. He comes to us by death and sends the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven, now are forgiven. Come celebrate your banners triumphing, your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world go out and tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent his Son to save us. Tell of the Son who life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every nation his new creation.
We continue with our confession. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated in the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And during the days ahead, perhaps a phone call, perhaps a letter or a card, share God's peace with someone else as well. Our offering for tonight will not be the passing of baskets. There will be a basket outside for anyone that wishes to contribute to the ministry of Emmanuel. And at this point, then, I invite you to be seated as we consecrate the elements for our Lord's Supper. Let us pray. You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Having come into the world, he fulfilled for us your holy will and accomplished our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able, and we implore you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, that we all who share in the body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sin may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints. All honor and glory are yours, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our closing prayers.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to God the Father that through his dear Son, he would accomplish his will for the church, the world, and all people for whom we pray. We adore you, O Lord, and confess you are one God in three persons. With God the Son, in the power of God the Spirit, we are bold to pray to God the Father as our Father. We do not deserve and can barely comprehend such a wonder. All we can do is bless your holy name and proclaim your goodness and grace to the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You commanded the church to go into all nations, making disciples, baptizing in your name, and teaching others to observe all you have commanded. Keep your persecuted servants faithful to that great commission, even when it would be easier to fall away. Purify, strengthen, and correct the words and lives of us who are not persecuted, so we are not a scandal to their witness, nor a stumbling block to those who do not yet believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You created this world and blessed it and called it good, and you entrust it to us as your stewards. We are called to be the very face of God to creation. Grant that we may use the bounties of the sea, land, and air with wisdom and prudence. Give gentle and loving hearts to all who care for animals. Bless farmers, ranchers, fisher folk, and all who keep an anxious eye on the weather, pollution, and everything that affects this beautiful planet. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless, heal, and comfort all who are beset by heartache, despair, pain, confusion, shame, or sorrow. Especially we pray for
Heavenly Father, we pray this night for David Deacon Joyner, for Luke, a high school student in Manchester, Connecticut. We pray for Melody, for Dan Brooklyn, for Barb Stephenson, for Amy Cooper and Kelly Stoyles, for Bernie Siebenabler, for Denny Damerval. We pray for Sandy Sunday. We pray for the family of George Floyd. We pray for Pam Hammond and Jeff Bernards. We pray for Brad Lund and the end of the infection in his leg, Lord. Heal him, we pray. Lord, we pray for the end of COVID-19. We pray, Lord, in your mercy, that as everything begins with a word, that you would speak your healing word, that you would cast out cancer and racism, and you would cast out all that seeks to destroy your people from loving one another. Lord, this night we also want to pray for our brothers and sisters at Gift of Grace in Holman, Wisconsin, as they celebrate 10 years of mission and mercy as a congregation in your kingdom. Lord, we want to also remember those who gave their lives on D-Day in 1944 and all who are currently serving in the military. And tonight we want to thank you for holy Christian marriage and the blessing that you have given to Jason and Mandy Trendle. May they in Christ build a household of faith.
And we lift in prayer our pastor, David Stephenson. Raise them up from the dark valleys in which they wander, be their light and life, their guide and joy, and return them to the fellowship of all who love and pray for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, O Father, for the sake of Jesus, your Son, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring what is pleasing in your sight to fruition in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending song, On Our Way Rejoicing. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hold it for a second. I want to sanitize.